From about the time I was 12 or 13 until I was 16 and could get a job of my own, I, most days during the summer, matter of fact, almost all days of the summer, went to work with my dad. And this was a fun thing. This was a positive thing. He was a great father. He was loving and affectionate. But it was work. He was a cookie salesman for Nabisco, and we would go to store after store and stock shelves with the order that had been delivered there. We would rotate the stock, and he would write a new order, or sometimes we'd build a display. And I remember my dad was always really valued hard work. And I remember one day we were in a store, and another person from Nabisco came into the store as a friend of my dad's who was an account manager, a little bit different job. And they started talking, and they were just kind of hanging out talking, and I kept putting cookies up. And this guy's name was, his last name was Sharp, and everybody called him Sharpie. And so, and I knew Sharpie, and he was a super wonderful guy. And so I'm working, and Sharpie said, you know, when I see other kids, they're working with their dads, and I come up, well, the kid stops working when dad stops working. But not Scotty. Scotty's always a hard worker, and he just keeps on working. And my dad said, yep, I'm really proud of him for that. He's a great worker. That story stuck with me, well, obviously, for the next 50-odd years, but, or 50 years, probably. But the reality is that that story had a major impact on me as a boy, coming to see myself as a hard worker that would impact me throughout school, college, grad school, even today. We're going to talk some about industry versus inferiority in the school-aged child, 6 to 12. I'm Scott Brown. Come talk to me. So industry versus inferiority, huge stage. The only stage in all human development that's bigger is adolescence, and we're going to cover it next. But industry versus inferiority sets the child up for adolescence. Adolescence, we'll talk about, is the stage of identity versus development. But industry versus inferiority is really the stage that gets that going in the right direction. What we're talking about is we want a child who has a sense of industry, which means I have the ability to act on my world and see the effects of my action. I have that ability. I can do things and see the positive effects of my action versus that sense of pulling back, that sense of head partially down, eyes up, maybe eyes wide, sort of a sense of, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm good enough. What if I make a mistake? Will people laugh at me? How would that feel? We don't like that so much. We want that child to feel like, yes, we can do what we need to do, and it's great fun, and even if it's not fun, I can still accomplish it. That's the sense of industry, right? That's that sense of I can do this, or I can handle this, or I can learn this. And as I said, this is for the school-aged child, 6 to 12. And so one of the primary places we want this to play out is school, right? So the child gets to school and they start to learn. And when children get to school and they start to learn, they start to fail, right? They start to encounter things that they can't do, right? And you'll see the difference here begin to emerge. You'll see some children who can't do it. And so they may be bothered by it, but they'll work harder, or they'll get help, or they'll take it home to mom and dad. I still remember with my dad laying out in the middle of the living room floor, dad and I, to work on homework together if I had something I wasn't getting. And those are some of my fondest memories, because he was always so complimentary and proud of me for getting it, and he would help me with it. And if I messed up, he would always say over and over, that's okay, let's try this again. And I think that enabled me to really carry that mindset forward, right? It was a fantastic kind of process. And so we want to really foster that sense of industry at school. Try it. If you don't get it, that's okay. Try again. Get help. That's okay. That's why help is there. Rather than, oh no, you failed. This is terrible. Why can't you get this? Maybe this is something you just can't do. that sort of absurd thinking we want to help our children not engage with. But in addition to school industry, as I alluded to with the early childhood, we want these kids also to have an outside the school industry. I love to see kids who are an expert in something outside the school. And here's where I'm going to use the bad word, right? Not electronics. Not electronics. Video games are great. Phones are great. Fine. You want your child to have those? Great. But those are not hobbies. Those aren't things that require ongoing learning and a sense of mastery. They're great pastimes. And we all need pastimes. We need a way literally to pass the time, to relax and enjoy, right? But what I'm talking about is a hobby or an area of interest, an area of expertise, collecting, a sport, an art, an ability like cooking, a knowledge of every Super Bowl in the history of the NFL and before, when it was, you know, AFC versus NFC, and who played in it and who were the stars, and that kind of knowledge, knowledge of tornadoes throughout the United States, a knowledge of how to make spaghetti and meatballs, cooking, some sort of external knowledge or a field of external knowledge, model building, rocket building, where this child grabs into this and really becomes an expert. I like them to know more about that field or that thing or that ability or that area than any member of their family does. I love to talk to an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old who knows more about something like that than I do and can tell me all about it. It's fantastic. To see their confidence is amazing. So we like it to happen in related to school sorts of things, but also outside the school. And then we want to continue to see industry develop socially, right? We talked about social development with early childhood. Now we want it to really start to blossom. This is going to be important because, hey, guess what, mom and dad? We're going to talk about this in a minute. All of a sudden, you're not going to be number one anymore, right? Other kids are going to know more than you do. Teachers are definitely going to know more than you do. Your IQ is going to start to drop here. And guess what? It's never going to come back until the kid's about 24 or 25. So get ready. You're going to get dumber and dumber for about the next, you know, decade or better. And so get used to that, because trust me, it's part of the reality. And so we really want this child to have the social skills to interact with a teacher with some confidence, to walk up to the teacher's desk and ask for help, to raise a hand and ask for help, to raise a hand and answer a question, to try something new in the area of hobbies or interests that they're involved in, or sports or arts, to pick up a new recipe and cook it, to grow a new plant. I've got a young man in my practice now who's amazing knowledge of plants. He can recommend plants depending on how much sunlight you have in a room and how much water, how much attention you want to give them, and how big they grow. And fantastic, fantastic kind of thing. So we really want that kind of expertise, and we want that kind of social expertise, right? That kind of ability to say, I can have a conversation with another kid that I'm in a group with and working on a project, and I can participate in the group. And even if somebody's not that nice to me, I can still participate and not let that bother me that much. These sorts of things. In addition, we want to kind of make sure we emphasize the importance of family. As I mentioned to you, mom and dad, you lose all kinds of popularity. You lose all kinds of IQ during this time. You're just not as smart as you used to be. I won't say which of our children, take a psychology class and come and I asked me a question and I answered it about the field of psychology. And it's an area within the discipline I know really well. And he said, no, that's not right. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, my psychology teacher in high school said it's this. So that's the way it is. And I said, oh, okay. Now, I don't know where the misunderstanding happened. The psychology teacher is an excellent teacher, so no question about that. But the fact was not accurate. And when I showed my child that, it was one of the boys, when I showed my son that, he was like, oh, well, that's not what I learned. So I think you ought to go back and ask him, right? Because I think he there's a misunderstanding here. And there was, the teacher had said something that my son hadn't picked up on or something. But the point is, boy, I got demoted really rapidly. Here I am, PhD in psychology, have been practicing for almost 40 years, and I just didn't know a dang thing. So we want to emphasize family. Right? We want to do family things, have family time, emphasize the importance of family, and continue to emphasize reverence for teachers and value for teachers. It's another aspect of school-aged childhood that we really want to do. It becomes easy for them, especially as they get a little further into it, say 10, 11, 12, to get sarcastic and kind of negative, and maybe they join in with friends about saying negative things about teachers. And we like to remind them that that's not okay. That's not okay. We don't boo teachers. We don't say mean things about teachers. We don't do that sort of thing. And then finally, we want to overall just kind of realize that this is the setup stage for adolescence. This is the setup stage for identity formation. This is the time where the child really comes to realize that this is the beginning of who I'm going to be, my values, my interests, all those sorts of things that we'll talk about in the next episode. I appreciate your time. We'll include the same sources in show notes that we've been using. They're really great sources or resources for developing children and parenting those children and that sort of thing. And again, I appreciate you. I'm Scott Brown. Thanks for coming to talk to me.
Dr. Brown is a licensed psychologist. This show focuses on general parenting advice. If you are concerned that your child might have a mental or emotional illness, please seek help. Your pediatrician's office is a great place to start. Come Talk to Me is by Priority Care Productions. If you like today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. To learn more, visit pcpeds.com or see the show notes in the episode description. Thank you for joining us, and join us again next week for Come Talk to Me.